Chapter 37. As near as I know, there isn't anybody as would be asking very particular arter you, if he was disposed of, so I needn't take this devil and all of trouble, to explain matters to you, if it weren't for your own good. Do you hear me? Apostrophe, the short and the long of what you mean, apostrophe said Nancy, speaking very emphatically, and slightly frowning at Oliver, as if to bespeak his serious attention to her words, is, that if you're crossed by him in this job you have on hand, you'll prevent his ever telling tales afterwards, by shooting him through the head, and will take your chance of swinging for it, as you do for a great many other things in the way of business, every month of your life. Apostrophe, that's it. Apostrophe, apostrophe, observed Mr. Sykes, approvingly. Women can always put things in fewest words, except when it's blowing up, and then they lengthens it out. And now that he's thoroughly up to it, let's have some supper, and get a snooze before starting. Apostrophe, in pursuance of this request, Nancy quickly laid the cloth. Disappearing for a few minutes, she presently returned with a pot of porter, and a dish of sheep's heads, which gave occasion to several pleasant witticisms on the part of Mr. Sykes, founded upon the singular coincidence of Jemmy's being a can name, common to them, and also to an ingenious implement much used in his profession. Indeed, the worthy gentleman, stimulated perhaps by the immediate prospect of being on active service, was in great spirits and good humor, in proof whereof, it may be here remarked, that he humorously drank all the beer at a draught, and did not utter, on a rough calculation, more than 80 oaths during the whole progress of the meal. Supper being ended, it may be easily conceived that Oliver had no great appetite for it. Mr. Sykes disposed of a couple of glasses of spirits and water, and threw himself on the bed, ordering Nancy, with many imprecations in case of failure, to call him at 5 precisely. Oliver stretched himself in his clothes, by command of the same authority, on a mattress upon the floor, and the girl, mending the fire, sat before it, in readiness to rouse them at the appointed time. For a long time Oliver lay awake, thinking it not impossible that Nancy might seek that opportunity of whispering some further advice, but the girl sat brooding over the fire, without moving, save now and then to trim the light. Weary with watching and anxiety, he at length fell asleep. When he awoke, the table was covered with tea-things, and Sykes was thrusting various articles into the pockets of his great coat, which hung over the back of a chair. Nancy was busily engaged in preparing breakfast. It was not yet daylight, for the candle was still burning, and it was quite dark outside. A sharp rain, too, was beating against the window panes, and the sky looked black and cloudy. Now then, apostrophe, apostrophe, growled Sykes, as Oliver started up, 5:30. Look sharp, or you'll get no breakfast, for it's late as it is. Apostrophe, Oliver was not long in making his toilet. Having taken some breakfast, he replied to a surly inquiry from Sykes, by saying that he was quite ready. Nancy, scarcely looking at the boy, threw him a handkerchief to tie round his throat. Sykes gave him a large rough cape to button over his shoulders. Thus attired, he gave his hand to the robber, who, merely pausing to show him with a menacing gesture that he had that same pistol in a side pocket of his great coat, clasped it firmly in his, and, exchanging a farewell with Nancy, led him away. Oliver turned, for an instant, when they reached the door, in the hope of meeting a look from the girl. But she had resumed her old seat in front of the fire, and sat, perfectly motionless before it. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.